Okay. I want to welcome everybody to today's call. We've labeled this Nutrition for the Next Century, and I have with me two wonderful people. One I'm a little closer to than the other for obvious reasons. 40 years ago, she was responsible for bringing me into this world. And the other, Dr. Carol Guth, and I'm just going to read a little bit about Carol. You know, and I think what was so fascinating after reading through Carol's bio, because I had no idea that my friend Carol Guth was so accomplished in the arena of anesthesiology. She graduated from Wake Forest University Medical School, then obtained her anesthesiology residence from the University of Pennsylvania. She moved out to San Francisco, where she practiced for more than 30 decades in San Mateo before retiring and moving back to North Carolina. Let's just see, her goal now is to encourage and promote and focus on wellness and healing in the Wake Forest University teaching program of medical students. Her first step was to establish and endow the very first chair of complementary and integrative medicine at Wake Forest. Recently, she has influenced the administration's decision to establish a center for complementary and integrative medicine at Wake Forest University Medical Center. And in a nutshell, Carol wanted me to add, remind people, I'm just a person who happens to be a doctor who has discovered a better and bigger picture of health. So that's Carol. Shar Rogers is become known for always being one step ahead of the masses when it comes to nutritional intake, as far as researching and discovering the foods that are available to us and how we can best use them in complementing what we have that Neekin has introduced with their bio-directed and bio-replenishment, is the new phrase, as far as the nutritional products that we have. And again, as I mentioned, I am partial because during the 70s, when the nutrition craze was first kind of on the scene and hit the masses with nutrition stores, I was one of three, I should say one of four guinea pigs that resided with this wonderful individual, and got to discover firsthand why I don't like donuts and other particular things today, because I got to discover what they do in the body. And well, Mom, you were a great instructor in a very practical way, and that's what I want to get into today. So I guess the greatest thing I want to focus in on is, as I was watching this morning a wonderful DVD that Mom so graciously sent to me by the gentleman by the name of Jeff Nelson, he asked the question, well, actually I'll rephrase his question: if health food has become so popular, why are we in the situation we are in today? And just some facts up front, so people know where we're going to take this from. And I encourage you to have pen and paper handy in front of you. And if you're on the West Coast and you're still laying in bed, then I completely understand. And if you're listening to this while you're driving, you may want to, you may want to resume listening to this later, because you're going to want to jot some of this information down. Here's some stats up front. And just focusing on the fact of the size of Americans today. In 1976 to 1980, as far as being overweight and obese, and the definition of overweight in this country is having a BMI, a body mass index, of 25, and obese is a BMI of 30 or more. Our percentage of adults in 1976 to 1980, that four-year time period, was 47 were in the overweight category and 15% were in the obese category. Today, or I should say in 1999 to 2002, so we're talking 6-8 years ago, that number went from 47% of our population overweight to 65%. And of those, 31% are obese, means they have a BMI of 30. And what's scary is it's not just affected adults. That same time frame, 30 years ago, 6 to 11-year-olds, that went from 7% up to 16%. They're in the overweight category. And the the 12 to 19-year-olds went from 5% up to 16% as well. So we've got a problem here. And it's not for lack of availability. It's not for lack of education or awareness, because it's all out there. So let me start with Carol. You recently, in the last 2 weeks, you attended a, I'll just call it nutritional seminar, for lack of a better term. And why you, being in the medical field, why has this taken on a totally new sense of awareness for you, and why are you going down this pathway of nutrition?
Well, I'll have to thank Char for introducing me to nutrition in the beginning.
So we both owe a debt of gratitude to the same person.
Exactly. You know, all through my medical education, I really never had a true course on nutrition. And all I really learned about nutrition has been since I've been in NECAM. And I'll have to thank Char for introducing it to me to begin with, and certainly our nutritional program with our auto ship program has made a big difference in my life. And I figure that, you know, if the more I learn about nutrition, the better I am to teach it to others.
Okay, and just for the record, because I'm not in front of you, so I don't run the risk of getting slapped, you know, I'm never supposed to ask somebody their weight or their age, but I'm going to do both so people know, because, Carol, you are one of those individuals that my wife, Stacy, always says, you know, when I grow up, I want to look just like Carol. Not take on the same physical structure, but as far as you have reversed in the last several years, and you credit to several sources, but you have reversed a lot of the aging process, or I should say the decaying process that a lot of people, especially in your industry, because we all know the stress that the medical profession goes through. But where are you at today, age and weight?
Well, you know, when I went to my class reunion, my 50th class reunion not too long ago, high school reunion, I realized that everybody was there was either obese or they looked 10 years older than I did, and they were going around with crutches and canes. I mean, I just couldn't believe how decrepit the people looked.
So 50-year reunion, well, if you graduated at 18 like most of us, so that puts you in your late 60s, that's safe to say, right?
Well, no, I'm 72.
Okay.
So it was a few years, in fact, I'm coming up in my 55th class high school reunion this year. So that kind of gives you an idea.
Okay, and where are you, without giving the weight, where are you on the scale of the body mass index? Do you know what that is?
Well, I'm low. I'm actually 5'9" and I weigh 135 pounds.
Okay.
So I'm on the low side.
Okay.
But I used to weigh more.
You're actually underweight for what the standard is for Americans. Being at 5 foot for men and women, the average right there is 100 pounds, and then for men, you multiply that every inch thereafter times 6, and for women, it's every inch thereafter is times 5. So ideally, your ideal weight would be 145 pounds, and you're under that.
I would say that that number has actually increased over the years, because the average weight, as you know, has increased through our population.
Same thing as women's clothing. It's just they increase it, the size of it, but they keep the number the same to allow us to feel better about ourselves.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
So again, let's get back to the subject, because I'm gonna get hate emails here in a sec if I keep going down these little bunny trails that pop in my brain. Your whole awareness for this is obviously because of lack of education or lack of formal training that you received in medical school. You're in your 70s now. You're at your ideal weight. What are some of the things that you're discovering that has been your greatest aha, if we can go that route? And then I'm going to bounce over to Mom here. As far as where things are at today that just absolutely disgust you, especially working as the president of the Alumni Association at Wake Forest University, things that are just shocking the socks right off of you, that what on earth are we doing?
Well, I guess the biggest aha for me was that it's not just aging process that has caused our chronic disease. It's actually our lifestyle. And the major factor of our lifestyle is what we consume and absorb. And that includes water as well as food. And that, I guess, to me was the biggest aha because, you know, we've been taught to treat things rather than to prevent problems. And that, to me, was a big revelation, and especially the type of food we eat. I mean, we are consuming so much dairy in the United States and also in the greatly industrialized and westernized type of countries, such as Europe and Scandinavia and the United States, for instance. We have the highest intake of dairy and meat protein, and that's where we see the most chronic type of diseases. And that, to me, was a big revelation.
Now, I know one of the things, Carol, that learned from a house guest, actually, that stayed last summer with my folks. She is from Holland, that the country of Holland, or in other words known as the Netherlands, is the number one right now as far as lowest life expectancy. And they attribute, as far as developed countries, and they attribute that, as far as the people that take these studies and tally all these results, they attribute that to the amount of dairy and the cheese specifically that they consume as a populace. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, that until I really looked into why that occurs, I didn't understand it. But when you take dairy, it's very high in protein, and our bodies were not meant to drink cow's milk. And therefore, the protein is too rich for our bodies. It is a protein that leaks through the gut, and when it leaks through the gut, then our body creates antibodies against that protein. And depending on your genetic genetic makeup as to where that goes into your weakest segment. And
okay.
It could be your joints, or it could be your heart, or whatever other organ. But that's where it seems to attack our immune system.
So, Carol, if there's one thing, and I know that if I let you and Mom loose, we could be on this call for several hours, and if I let you guys literally go ballistic, it would be a shock and awe nutrition campaign, because we have gone so far down the wrong track as Westerners as far as what we're putting in our mouth. But if there was one thing that you could hone it down to and say, if we eliminated, if you took this one thing out of your daily intake, would that be milk and cheese? Would that be a step in the right direction?
The one thing is deep fried foods, but I think most people have already eliminated that. And
the wonderful thing is we've got cities like New York City that have completely, it's illegal to use any type of trans fat in the oil frying, you know, cooking devices that they're producing or that they're utilizing. So, you know, we're making steps in the right direction, and other cities are following. However, you know, we could take it a step further. So aside from deep frying, cheese and dairy would be the number one.
The dairy would be the number one thing to take out because of the autoimmune responses caused.
Okay.
Especially important for kids less than 10 years old. Especially important for them because that's where you start seeing chronic diseases initiated is in the youth.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you one last question, and I'm going to bounce over to Mom here. Now, when you make that comment that especially in the kids, 12 years old, what about the whole, you know, milk, it does a body good? You know, we need to get to 3 a day as far as to get our calcium source for our developing and growing bones and our bodies. How do you get calcium if we eliminate all the dairy?
Well, first of all, you don't really absorb all that much calcium. It is a calcium product high in calcium, but it's not well absorbed. And so it tends to be more detrimental to the body. So you get your calcium from greasy lean vegetables and other vegetables, colorful vegetables. So that's what's important, just to focus on that. getting noisy line here for some reason.
Yeah, I don't, and I don't know if that's the line that Mom is tied in on or if the one you're tied in on, but a lot of we'll have to separate them out here and later. So absorption is the real key on that, and that's totally understood. Okay, let me flip and give Carol, give you a break. And Char Rogers, otherwise known as affectionately to me as Mom, why, again, going back to that first question that I asked Carol, for you in the 70s, why the big interest in nutrition?
Oh, we moved out into the country, and I was going to have a little farm, and I just started collecting things like a milk cow to milk and chickens and all that good stuff, and grinding my own wheat and baking my own bread, and thought I was, you know, doing all the right things. We had organic beef, and it changed the life of our oldest son as far as his attention and motivation in school. Within 2 weeks, the teacher called, and, you know, all of these little things started to fall into place, and, you know, that was where it kicked off. And then in asking a lot of people a lot of questions and stumbling onto a couple of things, I went into my first part-time business in that arena, and it just kept going down the road until we discovered NECAN almost 16 years ago now, going on 16 years, and that took me into it just deeper. And then as things developed in that field, and I still continued to see, even among wellness consultants, we still didn't have a total handle on things in our own families, and I was still really struggling with my weight. I
now,
mean,
Mom, now, hang on just a second, because when you make that comment, struggling with your weight, I'm going to go down the same track I did with Carol. Most people today, if they saw you, they would say, oh, come on. You know,
yes.
Both you and Carol together, you're not some of those individuals that say, you know, do as I say, not as I do. So you are at your ideal weight as far as lifestyle and, you know, all the other tests. And you did some things, taking matters into your own hands a few years ago to fight off the beginning stages of osteoporosis with what NECAN had to offer and whatnot. But again, you are, let me do the math real quick in my head, you're 66 years old today.
Correct.
Just celebrated your 66th birthday, so you're eligible for retirement and all that other stuff, but that doesn't seem to slow you down. And your height and weight?
5'1", and I'll fluctuate between 103 and 105.
Okay, so there again, according to the scale that we all learned from Dr. Gordon Pedersen, your ideal weight should be 105 pounds, and so you're right at it. So obviously you're in the same category because I inherited it from your side of the family, that challenge of being vertically challenged. We don't have the high stature that someone like Carol does, so it's a very much valid concern to always be on top of it, one step ahead of.
That's why I said struggle with it, because I mean, nobody knows unless you live in my body how careful I always was, and the minute I was off of that, I didn't want to go back to where I had been, which was a high obesity category when you add half your body weight onto that, meaning 150 pounds. I didn't ever want to go back there again, and I'd been there. So that's when I say struggle, you know.
Right.
People can see what they see, but they don't know what you're living as you're going through this.
And for most people that know you today, they would just find that very difficult to believe that you would be 50 pounds more than you are today, but that's the truth. And that was, you know, that changed, you know, because I remember as a youngster the transition that took place in our household. And I think one other statement that needs to be, you know, on the record here is that your OB made it very, very clear that the future life of your unborn, which my older brother, Spence, was at stake if you continued down the path.
He did. I mean, I had tears in my eyes when he said, if you do not care about your life or your unborn child, keep on eating, Mrs. Rogers, exactly as you have been. I mean, there was only one reason that I was obese. It was what was going in my mouth. There's no other explanation for it.
Okay, so let's fast forward to today, 2008. and ask the question again. If health food has become so popular, why are we getting bigger? Why do we have the numbers? Why do we have the statistics that we have today? Carol alluded to the fact of the amount of dairy, the milk and the cheese and the beef industry, and she had pointed out that it's a wonderful source of protein. It's packed with protein. However, looking at it from, and we discussed this a few weeks ago with Rand Qualley, the fact that the acidity factor in our bodies, we're feeding that at such a high, rapid rate that our natural body does not have the ability to produce the alkalinity to fight off all the diseases and all the sickness and junk that happens, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that diseases thrive in an acidic environment. So are you of the same mindset that we're fueling this fire because of our intake of meat, dairy, and such?
Yes, I'm not quite as polite as Carol is. I'm a little blatant with the subject, but I can, answer the question very easily. And that was in just what I was seeing happen. And again, it was inside my body. I didn't broadcast all the information that was going on inside my body. But when we went down to Dr. McDougall's workshop, live-in 10-day workshop, I had selfish reasons and I had general reasons related to our business and what I felt I'm supposed to be doing with my life right now, and that's helping other people. The biggest issue with me that I came to realize through just reading and studying is, why are we in this condition? Well, there's a couple parts to it. The first part is we believe the information that is put out to us by the government, by all the different people that are very, very well educated. They spend their life studying these things. Okay, what I want to ask is, who's paying for it? Who's paying for it? And when I began asking that question, it was like, I don't really even want to know these answers. And that's when I called Carol and Dr. Goose, and I asked her, I said, you can look at this quickly and know where and know how to find out who's paying for it. Well, if you knew who was paying for it, that might color what you believe, because that is what's controlling the information going out there to the general public. And that's what we're up against. Number two, you said, what would you take out? Well, it's real simple. It's the simplest thing I've ever done. All animal product and anything related to animal. That's number one. Number two is cutting down on the processed food. Well, just take it out. Eat it as natural as you can possibly eat it. You know, we say, oh, that's so hard. Well, it's been done for millions of years. But why is it so hard for us? Oh, we're too busy. So we accept on the death certificate as normal causes, if you're old enough. If you're not old enough, then we don't accept it. You know, if you're in your 20s, we ask why so young. But if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, we accept heart disease. We accept cancer, which is a disease. We accept diabetes as a reason, natural reason for death, because we're old enough. I mean, we have to die sometime. We have to die of one of these diseases, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, excuse me. They're diseases. That's something that's wrong with the body. Why did it go wrong? It's real simple. It's what we are doing to our bodies. We've conquered sanitation. We don't have a sanitation problem in this country, dying from lack of sanitation and awareness of, cleanliness. That's not a factor. But what we're dying of is diseases that are preventable.
Well,
and there's too many people that already know this. But
right, that's the difference between allowing the body to age the way it should and decaying. Because when you use that word decaying, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's like food rotting versus, food, aging and becoming its, for a banana to ripen naturally or a tomato to ripen on the vine, that's okay. But if you say the word, rotting, that's a totally different story, and difference between aging and decaying. And
you know, Vance, one of the greatest ahas was what was already mentioned, the acid alkaline level. Our body has a perfect balance that it will create within itself if it's given what it needs. And when I realized that every single product that NECAN had developed from the first pair of mag steps helped with that acid alkaline level. Okay, that was number one, because that affects the pH level of the body. And then number two was when I realized that the hugest portion of everything that was going in our body through that opening in our face was all acid. We were doing a toxic drip system of acidity into our body with every time we opened our mouth.
Absolutely.
And so why did we want to be putting these foods in there? And Ruth had asked me, you know, way back to do a redo the chart, the food chart that I'd put together in indicating what was acid and alkaline. I says, how can I do that? I cross out all the protein we're taking in. I cross out all that protein except for soybeans. And who wants to live on soybeans? Little did I realize, because I was giving no value to any protein content in the foods that we're eating, because that's not the mentality. We don't think of vegetables and grains as protein sources. If we really look at them, you find that you can take a grouping of five veggies and grains, and it'll match what beef has. You know,
okay, now,
how did it be the highest?
Just a second, because we all know people, and Carol, I'd love for you to you weigh in on this one as well, is the subject of, you know, when you start using the word vegetarian or plant-based or vegan, people start freaking out because we've been around somebody who, let's say, is an avid vegetarian, and they just don't look all that healthy because of a variety of reasons. So I take it back and say, how do we get the proper sources of protein? And you just mentioned this, that five servings of, you know, fruit and vegetables, or specifically the right vegetables, will match that of a you know, regular steak or a good chunk of, you know, beef, if you want to call it that. Is it possible to start eliminating, because I asked Carol what was the main one thing, and she said the meat and dairy. Would you echo and say for you that would be the one area to start on?
Animal products.
Animal products.
That's one category.
Okay.
All animal are things that come from. Yes, dairy is huge, but so is, like she said, that it depends on what chart you want to look at and how serious you want to be about it. That's why I said knowledge. Education is powerful. When you know, it was, you said it, Vance, how could you sit there and eat? What was the one you said? It no longer calls me to eat it.
The donut.
Well, why? People just love donuts. How come you aren't thrilled to think about eating a donut? Well, would you be thrilled about thinking about eating arsenic? No. Well, why not? It's because your frame of reference. You know what it does to your body. And so when enough information is put in, and that was, again, what I saw with what I was getting, then I wanted to disprove it. Then I wanted to prove it. I wanted to see how valuable, and I wanted to be able to tell other people. And that's why Carol and I both ended up in the same place, because I can't tell or say something that I have not literally experienced to the fullest myself and feel really, really good. Just the same as I feel about NECAN's products.
So both of you, Mom, you're cooking for two, or always many more, because you're pretty sociable and hospitable, and especially what you and Dad have taken on as your latest adventure, running a guest house. And then, Carol, you're cooking for one. So give us an example, and then I want to kind of try and wrap all this up if we can and really focus in on what we can do. And I've got a few questions that were submitted via email. Give us an example of, you know, for a normal, again, years ago, the whole mindset for dinner would be, okay, we pick a, you know, a chunk of meat, chicken, you know, lean beef, whatever, the size of the palm of our hand, and put that on our plate, and then fill up the rest of our plate with vegetables. And that would be properly balanced as far as protein, carbs, and fats and whatnot. So give us an example Obviously, we take the meat right out of the equation. What would you do, Carol, start with you, for a good meal? And then, Mom, go ahead. And what are you doing first thing when you're cooking for one? Or you're out to eat? What do you do differently?
Well, at home, I'm cooking big batches of leafy green vegetables. In the South, we call it a mess of greens. and that's what I'm eating, basically, to start with. At just about every meal, I have some sort of mess of greens. And it's a big mess. It's kale or collards, Swiss chard. And it could be, you know, I mix them together with different flavors. So that's one of my bases almost for every meal.
Now, when you say flavors, you're not chucking in a quarter pound of bacon.
No, I'm talking about flavoring it with garlic and pepper and perhaps some salad dressing that might have almost no oil in it that gives it good flavor.
Okay.
It's amazing what just a little bit of seasoning will do for it. It's really quite dramatic.
Okay, so the equivalent for those of us who are not in the South and we don't understand really what a mess of greens, and I lived in Jamaica, so I understood what you're talking about. Down there, it was a vegetable called callaloo, which is very similar to our collard greens here. Would a large salad, be equivalent to that?
Well, not exactly. I also have a large salad, and that can have a variety of things in it. You know, it can have peppers and onions and beans. Legumes are a big part of my diet.
Okay. So that's how you start. Then we got the salad, and then what else is like the main entree?
Well, it's all vegetables. I mean, it just works that way. You just get filled up with all whole foods. That's what I focus on, is whole foods. Because the body recognizes what it needs when you give it the phytonutrients it needs, which can be anywhere from 200 to 700 phytonutrients in our food that our body needs. And if you just give it these fractionated vitamins that you can get at any drugstore, it doesn't recognize what it needs.
Okay, so, now see, I could go for another 30, 40 minutes just on that one comment alone, because I'm an advocate for one of Neekin's products, the Siaga. And it goes right into all the rest of the stuff. But when you say the body recognizes what it needs, so can I assume that when the body gets the right whole foods in like an ounce of Siaga, which we know is giving us, you know, 4 to 5 servings, 4.5 servings of fruit, the body's recognizing that, so it's not going to say, hey, I need more of this other processed stuff or more of this other, because, you know, I'm deficient. When you actually feed it that, it's saying, hey, I'm full.
Exactly. The body will absorb from that whole food what it needs. And that's what's so great about our nutritional products, is because they are whole foods.
Okay. Okay. Mom, again, cooking for more than one, same thing?
Well, yes. What we've been doing is starting at, we're just mimicking what we did down in at McDougal's, and that start out with a big salad. Now, this is other than breakfast. Breakfast is simple. It's a no-brainer, but big salad, and then I'm doing soup, and then I'm doing an entree. And last night, there was a green salad. There was a kale sweet potato soup. And then mushroom stroganoff, flip of the tongue, I've said that three times.
Okay, now you see you're a closet user, so now we all know.
Now I'm a closet user. It was a mushroom stroganoff that we made, boy, you know, we've had company in here, and nobody's ever left a drop on the plate. I mean, it looks like the dog licked it when they get through. And the food's wonderful, and nobody says, well, gee, you know, where did the flesh go? Well, the flesh is not in the house anymore, except live walking around on two legs. So I just, you know, I think it's very simple. I love the grocery bill difference, and they gave us an average down there. You can live on $3 a day.
right. It's amazing how it cuts your grocery bill.
Here's a question, and I'm not going to be able to answer all of what Grace and Peter Rose submitted from New Jersey, so I'm going to have to actually email this to you. I'd love to get both your comments on. But when people talk about, even wellness consultants say, they get on board with Nika and say, you know, I can't afford to do all this extra, you know, especially when the auto ship goes. Would you agree with the statement that I like to share with people and say, when your body gets the right nutrients, you're going to find that you've provided the quality, therefore the quantity as far as the grocery expense goes drastically down. Am I out on left field here, or is that about accurate?
Yeah, the only thing is the quantity that we eat is much greater than I've ever eaten in my life, and even including extra meals during the day, just because my body is running so effectively on what it's getting and utilizing it. But, you know, the big things is the way you feel. I mean, my goodness, the difference in the way my intestinal tract works and you know, all that I'm seeing happen. And, you know, proven with the numbers. I didn't have anything to really adjust in my blood count. My cholesterol still went down 29 points in 10 days. Something's got to be different with what I was doing before I went there and since I've been there, because I further adopted doing it better than what I was doing. And it just means I'm more careful about not using the processed. I'm more careful about not consuming oils. I thought I knew how to read labels. I mean, my gosh, how long have I been doing this? And I hate to admit, I was the last one in the grocery store trying to find the right things. So there is a little bit of a learning curve.
Right.
But we had the help, and that's what we're trying to give other people, in shortcutting it as much as possible.
Okay.
Now, how often do we go to Starbucks or someplace where we chronically get a latte and spend $4 or $5? You know, if that $4 or $5 were reinvested in your own health by getting Nikan Whole Foods, you would notice a big difference in your health.
Plus, and you know, Carol, I haven't given up my lattes. They're just different ingredients. And I can do my own in about 30 seconds or, well, maybe a minute, because I'm not doing the same thing I was doing. So I can go in and order one, yes. I just happen to take my own stuff in with me. I guess it may seem difficult, but how long you live and the quality of life to me is kind of important. How I feel while I'm living and while I'm here is also kind of important, as well as the heritage I lay down for my children and my grandkids, because either way you do it, it's their heritage. You're passing on their heritage, whether you want to be or whether you don't want to be. Either way you do it.
What would be, and let's finish with this question, what would be the greatest resource out there that is easy to digest? And I'm going to rule out the China study, because that's not easy to digest. There's way too much technical information there for the masses. Other than the China study by Dr. McDougall, what would you say would be the simplest to digest resource that we could get our hands on to start us down the road? Because I guess what continues to just boggle my brain, and I know I'm fascinated with the size of Americans, because it's we've gone on record, as the researchers have said, by the year 2015. So we're talking in 7 years from now that our current statistic of being 65% of our population being overweight, they're estimating that's going to be 80 to 85%. So, I mean, we're almost, if we continue down the track we're headed. So, Carol, one last time, what was your highest weight?
My highest weight, probably about 155.
155, okay, so you're definitely much lighter than you were. And I'm speaking from experience, too, because I'm 30 pounds lighter than I used to be, which is wonderful. And, again, it just is a process of awareness. But, Carol and Mom, what? Give me a resource that you guys are using that's been a real nice discovery process to go back to.
Well, let me say, I'll correct one thing you said. The China study was actually by T. Colin Campbell, not Dr. McDougall.
I'm sorry.
However, Dr. McDougall's website and his newsletter would be a great information source for people, and that's www.dr, which stands for doctor, and the word McDougall, and that's mcdougall.com. www.drmcdougall.com. And there you can read his newsletters and sign up for his newsletters. He has a great source where he goes into cholesterol and heart disease and hypertension and cancer. So you'll learn unbelievable amount of stuff there.
Okay.
And, you know, I have to echo that same thing because that's exactly what was going through my mind. And you can even go in, as we in this business, and with NECAN, have used a lot of testimonies. Look up and just read some of the, they call them Star McDougallers. Star McDougallers, the testimonies of the people that have gone through this and what has happened. And when they... I'll just use the blood and urine work. When they do that, those numbers don't lie. They were made available to us during at the beginning and at the end, and then during it, the weights, all of those factors. It's not a diet. He has done this for well over 30 years, and there's a whole raft of doctors, but he happens to be the one that is the most visual. He has a good way of presenting. He's easy to listen to. He's got a lot of free information on that website, tons of free. It's like a set of encyclopedias. But don't be afraid. It's very user-friendly. You just poke on what looks interesting and what you're looking for. And... I know you're going to find answers there. And then try and disprove it. And make sure you're looking at where the information is coming from. Who is funding? Who is has what to gain from selling you on the idea? With this idea, all it's going to be is go to the grocery store and make adjustments.
Now, I know that because of the sake of time, we're going to have to do a follow-up chat on this discussion. And... and come back to it, because we never even got to go into the fact of what NECAN has to offer as far as the whole foods, the bio-directed, the bio-replenishment in our...
Well, see, those go without saying, Vance, because our whole foods and our classification of replenishment, you know, we just don't... We're not going to be that exact about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody wants to be that exact.
Sure.
And that's what they take care of, is the pitfalls and the potholes that we have that need to be covered on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, and I know what is wonderful, and you made the comment, Mom, that we're all responsible for passing it on to the next generation. You know, and as adults who don't have kids living under our roof, the greatest responsibility we have is to set an example, and especially as wellness consultants. If we're going to call ourselves a wellness consultant and sign up to be one, well, the hard part is living in a life of as an example and modeling that. And, you know, and what's great is we're all in a process. We're never going to arrive. And I would be the last to stand up and say, look, I'm there. You need to do exactly what I'm doing. Because that's foolishness. That's completely absurd. However, what we can do is say, you know, I'm on a track. I'm working on getting better. And I know for our family, having a 9 and a 6-year-old in our home, 6-year-old who is entirely prone to eating all the junk, and whereas the 9-year-old said, you know, I don't want to do that. And I had this conversation with a gentleman the other day, and he said, you know, but every once in a while, it just feels good to get a McDonald's Big Mac. And I said, really, how good does it feel? He said, well, I just love eating. He said, well, now come to think of it, every time I do that, I end up getting sick. It within a few hours later, because it just starts tearing my body apart. And I'm like, and why do you keep doing it every single few months? He's like, but it feels so good to eat one. You just got to have one. Now, let's go back to the donut again. No, I don't. I don't have to. So, anyways, Carol, Mom, thank you guys so much for taking the time. And again, I want to repeat the resource that both of them alluded to, and that is www.drmcdougall.com. That's DrMcDougall.com.
you got an extra letter in there, Vance.
I got, what, two L's?
D-O-U-G.
D-O-U, yeah, okay. M-C-D-O-U-G-A-L-L.
D-O-U-G.com.
Yeah, okay. Well, if we get it wrong, it'll take you, you do any, you know, any search, it'll take you to the right one. But look that up, you guys, and it's the same thing that we use for the Nikan testimonies. We pride ourselves on having a plethora of them available, so see what's there. And you know, as Mom said, try and prove it wrong. So, you know, check it out. And if you've got people that you know this would be beneficial to utilize, get them to growingandwellness.com. We'll post all the information up there, post a copy of this recording. It could just very well save somebody's life. And there are testimonies that will attribute to that as well. So send them that way. So again, thank you, Shar Rogers and Dr. Carol Guth, for being our special guests. And we look forward to talking to everybody next week.